Say this, the word of God.
The word of God
is the answer.
Yes.
Now, tonight, we're going to talk about the trial of faith. The trial, T-R-I-A-L, the trial of faith. Now, let's look at our background text. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 9. Look at what it says. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. That's how we're kept. That's we get saved. And we receive Christ into our lives, but that doesn't mean we're going to live the saved life. In other words, we're going to have to know something about faith, and then through faith, we will be kept by God's power unto salvation. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Next verse. Wherein you greatly rejoice through now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through, now I want you to look at the words, manifold temptations. Manifold temptations. Look at the next verse. It says that the trial of your faith. Look at trial of your faith. See that? See, it's in the scripture. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor the glory and the glory of the appearing of Jesus. We'll just stop right there. We'll just stop right there. Now, here's what I want you to get first. We're talking about the trial of faith. There is a difference between a temptation, you can come on in. There's a difference between a temptation, and you can walk right on up here. It ain't gonna bother me at all, okay? There's a difference between a temptation and a trial. There's a difference between a temptation and a trial. Let's look at temptation. What is a temptation? The word temptation means to solicit toward evil. To solicit toward evil. And the goal of a temptation, and temptations come in many shapes, forms, and colors. There's sexual temptations, there's financial temptations, there are other kinds of temptations, there are integrity temptations, there's all kinds of temptations. All of us face temptations. All of us face temptations. The goal of a temptation is to entice to sin, show a weakness or a point of failure. To entice you to sin, show a weakness or a point of failure. Now, what is a trial? What is a trial? A trial is a test. It means to approve. It means to approve for our good, or it means to improve the quality of. To prove, or it means to prove the quality or improve the quality of. Now, let's talk about temptations. Listen at this. Satan tempts us. Satan tempts us. God tests us. Got it? Say that. Satan tempts us. God tests us. Okay? And we don't want to get that confused. Satan tempts Christians. Satan, God doesn't tempt Christians. Satan tempts Christians. Now let's prove it from the scripture, and then let's find out why and how does he do it. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of who?
The devil.
So we see right away that it is the devil that tempts us. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. It says, this is talking to husbands and wives. It says, defraud ye not one another. Don't rob. The word defraud means to rob. Except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And you come together, watch this, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. How many married people here? I ain't going to stay here long. This is not a marriage lesson. I'm not going to stay here long. But it says that husbands and wives, we're supposed to relate to each other sexually. And it says that we should rob each other sexually. Now watch what it says. It says that if we're not handling our business, okay, it says that Satan will tempt us In other words, he will tempt us to go outside of our marriage. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But now notice, it's not God, it's Satan tempting us. Can you see that? Now, let's talk for a minute about why Satan tempts Christians. We're talking about why Satan tempts Christians. Number one, he tempts Christians to expose their weakness and to lure them into evil. Now, this is not a negative statement, but we all have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. So Satan is constantly looking at us. He's constantly seeing where we're weak at. And Satan wants to expose our weaknesses. Second reason why Satan tempts us, he wants to trap us into a wrong action. Trap us into a wrong decision. So he's constantly, and it makes no difference whether you are a child or a teenager, we got teenagers here, or whether you're a young adult, middle-aged adult, Satan always wants to tempt us, and he tempts us because he wants to trap us into a wrong action or a wrong decision. The third reason why Satan tempts us is he wants to get us to quit. Anybody ever been tempted to quit on something? I'm the only one been tempted. Okay, I'm the only one. Y'all left me out here by myself. Listen, he wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. He wants to make it look like you're not going to win in life. So he tempts you to quit. And then next, he wants to cause us to fall. And then he wants to cause others to stumble. He wants the pastor for teaching purposes to fall, to cause the members to stumble. He wants the husband to fall to cause the family to stumble. He wants this person to fall to cause the leader to fall to cause other people to stumble. Can you see that? Another reason why Satan tempts us, he wants to destroy us and he wants to indirectly attack God. How many of you are Christians? You're born again. Let me see your hand. Now listen, Alicia sung the song, God really loves you. I mean, God really loves you. He gave his son for you. Watch this now. Listen carefully. And Satan hates God. Hates him. But he can't get to God. But he knows how much God loves you. So he thinks, if I can attack them and destroy them, I'm going to hurt them. I'm going to hurt God. See, I got two beautiful children. They're adults. Tiffany is about 33 and Michael is 35. He'll be 36. I love my son and my daughter. And for teaching purposes, if something comes against them, it affects me. How many understand that? Mm-hmm. And that's the way God is. Anything comes against you, it affects God. So sometimes it's not all about you. Sometimes it's about him trying to get at God. So he wants to hurt you. He wants to destroy you, so that he can get at God. And then finally, Satan tempts us because he wants to abort God's plan for your life. Now, I'm going to slow down and then I'm going to speed up, okay? God has a plan for every last one of you. He has a beautiful, wonderful plan for every one of you. And Satan wants to abort that. He wants to stop God's plan from coming to pass in your life. Now, listen at this. How does he tempt us? How does he do it? He wants to crush us under the weight of hardship. In other words, he wants to throw as many things at you if he can. You know, if it's sickness, he wants you to be dealing with this kind of issue, dealing with this issue, dealing with this kind of issue. If it's financial, he wants you to deal with this, deal with this, deal with this. If it's school, he wants to deal with your athletics, deal with your homework. He wants you to have as many things you're juggling as possible. In other words, he wants to crush you under the weight of hardship. He wants to, listen to this very carefully, he wants you to fulfill legitimate needs in an improper, ungodly way. See, we all got legitimate needs, whether we're single or married, okay? Whether we're single or married, we got needs. We want to be close to somebody. We want to be touched. We want to be loved. We want to be hugged. We want intimacy, whether you're single or married. And sometimes when that need is not being met, he wants you to tempt. That's what the Bible talks about when it says, don't rob each other, husbands and wives. Why? Because Satan wants you to step outside of that relationship and get those needs met. Now, this is not a marriage conference, okay? But I'm always led in different directions, okay? I want you to know, married people, don't take your spouse for granted.
Amen.
Don't take your spouse for granted. Satan watches our household. He watches our bedrooms. And don't take your spouse for granted, because Satan wants you to step outside of that to get your needs met. And that's true whether you're single or married. He wants you to get your needs by stepping outside of the will of God. It's a legitimate need, and God wants to supply it, but he wants you to step outside of his will. Does that make sense to anybody? Mm-hmm. Am I talking to anybody here? Does it make sense? Shake your head like this. Come on, just shake your head or not. You know, sometimes when you're hitting people, you know, and maybe they don't know which way to do. They don't know whether to look left or look right. So I just try to help you out. Just everybody just shake your head at the same time. And then nobody will know I'm talking to you. See, nobody will know I'm talking to you. Just shake your head. Come on, shake your head. Say, I'm understanding. Come on, shake your head. Say, I'm understanding. Yeah. Okay. Now, I got some other reasons why he tempts us. And I'll just say one more. He tempts Christians because he wants us to misrepresent God. Okay? And that's why you hear people all the time say, man, I don't want to go down to that church. Man, I don't want to have nothing to do with church. Because them Christians, they're nothing but hypocrites. No, Christians are people just like everybody else. You understand that? We have more pressure on us. Did you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Satan ain't concerned about folk that ain't saved.
Right.
People that are not saved already in his kingdom.
Right.
It's Christians that he want to fall. And see, he tempts us because he wants us to misrepresent God. Because he knows people can't see God, but they can see us. Mm-hmm. So when we act crazy or do something foolish, you understand what I'm saying? They said, see there, that's here. I don't want to have nothing to do with that old church. See them. See, that's why one of the major reasons why he tempts us, because he wants us to misrepresent God, and he wants people to stay away from God by looking at us. Does that make sense to everybody? Mm-hmm. Shake your head like this. Come on, dude. Come on, shake your head like that. Okay, now, God never tempts us. He never tempts Christians. Let's look at some scripture, and then we're going to talk about tests. God never tempts us. Notice what it says in James 1, verse 13. It says, let no man say, don't say this. That's what the Bible said. It said, don't say this. It said, do not say this. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. See there? It said, don't say it. Don't say God tempted me. Don't say it. He said, let no man say I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Now watch this. And neither tempt he any man. And if we run it all the way through, neither tempt he any man with evil. Can you see that? Look at the next verse. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it brings forth what? Death. Watch this. Do not err. Don't make this mistake of saying it's God. Now watch this. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from where? Above. Cometh down from who? The Father of life, with whom there is no variability in these shadow turn. In other words, God is not a little good, a little evil. He's not gray. He's the same all the time. He's good all the time. God does not want you to fail. He's Amen. Never going to put anything in your life to cause you to fail. God is trying to get you to win. He wants you to win in life.
Amen.
God is on your side. Come on, say, God is on my side.
God is on my side.
Come on, say, God is on my side.
God is on my side.
Say, the devil is against me.
The devil is against me.
But God is on my side.
God is on my side.
Okay, now. Now, let's shift gears. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let's look at this. I'm making good time. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians. There has no temptation taken you but such as what? Common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the
temptation
make a way of
escape
that you may be able to
bear.
Now, here's the beautiful truth about this. Remember this. Remember this, because you're going to be tempted by the devil. You're going to be tempted by the devil. Whenever Satan tempts you, God is always going to make sure that a way of escape comes with the temptation. Remember that. Remember that. Come on, stand up, Will. Stand up. Stand up. Okay. I'm the temptation. He's the way of escape. Whenever the temptation comes, the way of escape gonna come. You're never gonna have a temptation. He's the way of escape. I'm the temptation. There's never gonna be a temptation without a way of escape. So whenever temptation come your way, I want you to know that there's a way of escape. It may not look like it's a way of escape. And that's the whole name of the game. See, a part of what we like to do in church, a part of my assignment as a pastor is to inform you. So that when you go out in that nasty world and you're dealing with demons and spirits and folk and stuff like that, you will know how the game is played. You need to know the rules of the game. You need to understand how it works. So it helps me to know that whenever I'm tempted, there's going to always be a way of escape. Because see, God wants me to get out of it.
Amen.
The very fact that there's a way of escape, he don't want me in it, right?
Amen.
Now watch this, and he want me to be able to bear it.
All right.
Oh, that's good news. Mm-hmm. Come on, shake your head like this. Come on, shake it. Come on, shake your head. Yeah, shake your head, shake your head. Yeah, that's good news. Yeah, that's good news, that's good news. Okay, now, let's talk about tests. Let's talk about tests. God tests Christians. Satan tempts Christians. Now, let's look at some proof texts. It says, the fining pot, this is Proverbs 17:3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Mm. See that word tried? That means to test. It means to approve. It means, and we'll see more about it. Let's look at the next scripture. This is Genesis 22:1. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. Oh, see there, Pastor, I told you God does tempt folks. See there, there you got caught. No, well, okay, well, let's read it. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And in this context, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. The Bible says he tempted, King James Version. If you look up that word tempt there, it doesn't mean tempt. It means to try. It means to test. Let's look at the Amplified Bible. Same verse, Amplified Bible. After these things, after these events, God tested and proved Abraham.
Mm.
Let me ask you a question. You're the smart class. Come on, say, I'm the smart class.
Smart.
Let me ask you a question. God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Remember that? If you don't remember it, then Genesis chapter 22. Did God know what Abraham was going to do? Now, y'all looking the same way. When I asked that question, y'all looked the same way I was in that cost accounting. I was in a cost accounting course in college. I didn't have a clue what was going on. It was like I was watching at the clock. I was watching the clock, and I was like, God, if I could get out of this class, man. I don't know what's going on. Y'all had that same expression on y'all face. When God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, did God know what was going to happen?
Yes.
So he didn't need to do it to find out. Okay? So it wasn't temptation. It wasn't like God gonna find out. No, God was testing him and he was proving him. Got it? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another build thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works, what sort it is. Watch this. If any man works abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a
reward.
Now watch this. If any man works shall be burned, he shall suffer
loss,
but he himself shall be
saved.
Now what that's literally saying, precious people, is how many Christians? Okay, let me see you again. Okay. You don't work to get to heaven. Got it? Jesus worked to get us to heaven. It was his sacrifice, his work on the cross, his work in the resurrection that gave us the right to salvation. Okay. But now that we are saved by grace and saved by faith, our works will be judged one day. One day, how we live and how we fulfill our assignment and whether we were obedient to God or not, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account of how we live. Now, it's not going to determine whether we go to heaven or not. We're going to go to heaven because of what Jesus did, okay? But it's going to determine whether or not we receive rewards. So every Christian is not going to get the same rewards in heaven. God ain't going to say, well done, thou faithful and good servant, to everybody. Some Christians going to get rewards, and they're going to have trophies. They're going to carry off their trophies. And then some Christians going to stand up there and their works going to burn through the fire. But the Bible says they're going to be saved, but they're not going to receive rewards. But it says the fire going to try their works. So let's talk about testing. Let's talk about some tests. Let's talk about tests. I gave you examples from the scripture that God does test Christians. So why does God test Christians? Why does he do it? Number one, to reveal the quality of our faith and the sincerity of our devotion, both to ourselves and to the world. God tests us to reveal the quality of our faith to us and the sincerity of our devotion to the world. That's why God did what he did with Abraham. God knew he was going to obey. God had already prepared the ram before he was going to slay. God wanted that on record. He wanted on record that we would know that Abraham was a man of faith. So sometimes God tests us to reveal the quality of our faith and the sincerity of our devotion to others. Now watch this. The second reason why God tests us is he wants to challenge us to move outside of our comfort zone. There are times when if God left us alone, we're going to always stay within our comfort zone. We're never going to do anything outside of our comfort zone. So God sometimes will give us assignments. He will tell us to do something because he wants to push us outside of our what? Outside of our comfort zone. Sometimes God tests us because he wants to challenge us to believe for more than we think we can. Believe for more. Listen, you can do more than you're doing. You can do more than what you're doing. And God wants to do that. I'll be honest with you. If it had been left up to me, I'd have never been a pastor. I wouldn't even been in front of folk. If it had been left up to me, God gave me an assignment that pushed me outside. Then he called me to pastor the church. It pushed me outside of my comfort zone. He wanted me to believe beyond what I thought I could believe. And then we built this church, this large church, this wonderful church. Never thought we could do that. And then he's sending us to Columbus. I'm outside of my comfort zone. Think about it. I'm in a city. I don't know nobody. I know Naomi. I know Lisa and all the ones that I met here, but I don't know nobody. I could even go from, if you told me to go 3 blocks down the road, I would be lost. I would need a GPS to get back to this place right here. I don't know anybody here. I don't know nothing about the city. God sometimes gives us assignments because he wants to push us out to believe for more than we think we can. You can do more than you can believe for more. You can have more. So sometimes God wants to push us out there because he know we can do it, because he going to help us do it.
Mm.
Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? And watch this. Sometimes God tests us to produce self-awareness so we'll know where we are. Right? Okay, any students here, you in school? How many, you're in school? Okay. You're in school. Do they give tests in your school?
Yes, sir.
Why do they give tests?
To see
what you learn. And so, in other words, after the test, you know where you are. Right? If you didn't have the test, you wouldn't know. Right? So sometimes God gives us a test so we'll know where we are. He'll say things like, Adam, where are you? God likes to ask questions. He'll say, Elijah, what you doing here in this cave? Saul. Why are you persecuting me? He already know the answer. When God asks you a question, trust me, he already know the answer. He's trying to get you to know the answer. He wants you to know where you are. He said, Peter, Simon, do you love me more than these? He already know the answer. Whenever God asks you the question, he already know the answer. He just wants you to know where you are. That's why they give tests in school, because they're not trying to flunk you out. I mean, think about it. The teacher's not saying, listen, I'm going to flunk every teacher. I'm going to flunk every person coming in this class. Teachers don't even think like that, unless they crazy or something like that. They have to be insane. They shouldn't even be in that business. I'm going to flunk everybody come through. No. They give a test because they want to show you where you are and to help you get to another place. So that's why God does it. He wants to show us where we are and he wants to help us get to another place. Does that make sense to anybody? Anybody? And then watch this. Listen at this. How does he do it? Let's talk about some of these tests. And then I'm gonna enter my first closing. I got two closings. I'm gonna get my first closing. He gives us tests. I'm going to give you some of the tests he gives us, okay? I'm going to give you some tests that he gives us. Now watch this. He gives us sometimes a money test. It's just a test. Sometimes he gives us a money test. Watch this. It's when God asks you to give to someone something you have that you want to keep.
Uh-oh.
Or he asks you to give beyond your comfort zone.
Mm.
See, God taught me to be a giver. I'm a giver. I love to give. Love it. I try to give some all the time. At least every week, I want to try to give somebody something every week. God helped me to become a giver. I was a tither, but I was still stingy. I know that sounds like a paradox. How can you be a tither and be stingy? A lot of tithers are stingy. In other words, they're going to measure it out. Okay, 10%? I got $12, $1, and 20 cents, baby. That's all you getting, God. $1, and you getting $1 and 20 cents. Okay, that's where I was. I was a tither, but I was like the Pharisee. I'm going to measure that thing. I'm going to give you just enough. So God wanted me to grow as a giver. And he told me, you know, I used to like ties, man, love ties. I had all kind of pretty ties and stuff like that. And he told me to give the tie. I have these ties. You know, you always have your favorite, right? Girls, y'all got your favorite shoes, you got favorite earrings, whatever. This was my favorite tie. So God told me to give the tie to this guy in my church. I was like, oh, no. And I was thinking, I give him another tie. In fact, I give him two or three ties, but I want to give him that tie. No, God wanted me to give him that tie. I mean, the guy was blind. He was blind. I said, God, he can't even see the tie. I'm thinking, no, man, what difference does it make? Would it make a difference whether I give him this tie or he can't see it? So I'm going through this thing, man. I know. I was gonna give him some shirts, some nice shirts, and I was gonna give him some extra stuff, but I didn't want to give him that tie. I finally gave him that tie. You ever gave something and you just tripping about it the whole time? I mean, you just all upset. I mean, you gave, but you weren't cheerful at all. So I gave him the tie, and something was released in me. It was just a test. That's just all it was. God wanted me to move outside of my comfort zone, and he wanted me to grow in my giving. It had nothing to do with whether the guy could see it. It had to do with me. It had to do with my heart. There was something in my heart. I was still stingy. You know what I mean? I was still possessive in my heart. And so God wanted me. Then I got where I could have all kind of ties. I mean, just all kind of pretty ties and stuff like that. All kind. And then I had this tie. I went to Las Vegas and I got this tie. It was an expensive tie. Oh, expensive. I thought it was just a pretty thing. I pull that tie whenever I want. I stand out there like that. When I walk in the congregation, I'm going to stand out right there. Because that's my favorite time. You know, God tested me again. God walked up to me because I shake hands after every sermon. God walked up to me. You know what he going to ask me. He said, you know, that's a pretty tie you got on. I was thinking to myself, no, you don't. And the guy asked me for the tie.
Wow.
It was expensive. I mean, like, it cost a bunch of money. And I gave the tie to the guy. I don't even think about stuff like that. I don't wear ties as much as I used to, but I take them off in the line and give them to folk and just give it. It was a test. God wanted me to grow. He wanted me to grow. He wanted me to be, he knew I would be happy giving. And I love it. It's a joy to be able to give. And he just keep giving back to me. It was a test. So sometimes God will ask you to give something that you want yourself. So if it's a dress, don't go in your closet and give them a little old Mickey Mouse dress that you don't care. You don't care about it no way. You know what I mean? It could be your tennis shoes. You know the tennis shoes that you really like? Yeah. He said, mm-mm. Brother said, mm-mm. he said, nah. See, if we're going to grow, sometimes he'll ask you. God will ask you to give you the tennis shoes. Now, watch this. It's the money test. Then sometimes there's a servant's test. That's when God asks you to do things that are beneath your calling. Below your education, your training, your experience, your skill set. And you find yourself sometime on jobs, you know you got more to offer than what they. It's a test. It's a test. When our church first started, my wife and I were I was the lawn man and we were the janitors in the church. We cleaned the toilets. I cut the hedges, and there ain't no electric hedges, baby. Them just like this. It was a test. I had more to offer than that. But God wanted to see would I serve him. Without the titles, without people giving us accolades, could I serve below my skill set, below my training, below my experience? Because if you can't serve at that level, see, when you get really promoted, you'll be high-minded.
Right.
So sometimes God will test us to do things that are below what we can really give, and we know we have more to offer. Does that make sense to you? Sometimes he gives us the motivation test, and he asks us questions like, why? Years ago, I would pray for my church to grow. Oh, I want the church to grow. I want the church to grow, church to grow. But God wanted, why? Why you wanted to grow? And then I discovered it wasn't because I love people. It was because I had a big shot mentality. And more people made me look good. More people meant more tithes and offerings. So God had to expose that. That was almost 30 years ago. Why do you want the church to grow, Mike? And then I realized it ain't because I love the people. So I had to go to God and say, God, I don't love them. I need them. And he taught me there's a difference between loving people and needing them. And so I said, God, you're right. I don't love them. I said, God, I really don't love them. I said, help me to love them. Help me to love them. I said, God, burn the bitch shot out of me. Burn it out of me. Burn it. He did. That's why I can preach in this setting. And I can go in a setting and have thousands of people and preach. And I'm just excited to be here in this. I cannot be more excited if I was somewhere else. I'm excited being with you because I've learned to love people. Not the numbers, not how many people it is. So sometimes God asks us questions like, why you want to prosper? Is it because you want to be on the hill and want everybody to look at? Why do you want to succeed? Why do you want to be a success? Is it because you want to be a big shot and everybody looking at you? Or do you want to prosper and succeed so you can help other people? And see, if it ain't about other people, you ain't ready. If it's not about people, you are not ready. So it's the motivation test. Why? Then sometimes it's the time test. The time test is when it seems like the promise God gave you will never come to pass. Abraham, you and your wife are going to have a baby. 10 years later, no baby. Sarah came up with an idea. Well, let's make us a baby. End up with an Ishmael. The baby came 25 years. Sometimes it takes longer than you thought. It's the time test. And then there's the misunderstood test. The misunderstood test are when those who love you misinterpret your motives and misunderstand why you're called. Like the first church I pastor Presbyterian Church, it was a small church, and God spoke to me about Faith Chapel, and it was in my heart. And God told me to leave. I left that church. My mother, she was so proud. I mean, my church was, the church was about this size. I mean, this would have been a crowd in my church. My mama was so proud of me because my baby got a new church. She's a pastor. She was so proud. And then when God spoke to me to leave, and I didn't know where I was going to go, she said, Mike, my mama, my biggest fan, she said, Mike, why are you going to leave something? You got something. You don't know where you're going. It was a misunderstood test. I can explain to her what she would understand why God was calling me to do this. There are going to be times when folk are not going to understand. And you can't become bitter and angry and resentful and hurt. There are going to be times people just not going to understand. It's a test. Come on, say it's a test.
It's a test.
Sometimes there's the offense test. The offense test is when you feel justified with holding a grudge. Like they did you wrong. And you feel like, I got a right to hate them. That's the test. It's a test. Are you going to obey God? He says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully. It's a test. Are you going to pass the test or are you going to hold on to your grudge? And then finally, there's the things test. The things test is when you have plenty of things, good reputation, and you're on top. Sometimes the things test is harder than getting there. How are you going to act when you get up on top? How are you going to act when you get the house, the car, you get the promotion, you get the degree, you get the promotion, you get this, you got the title, you got all this? How are you going to relate to people? Are you going to see little people now? Because you're up on the hill. It's the things test. Now, let me close out by saying this. Development, promotion, and victory is not automatic. Say that. Development.
Development.
Promotion.
Promotion.
And victory.
And victory.
Development, promotion, victory are the product of response. Now, people say, you know, temptation's going to make you stronger. Temptation, that's a lie. Temptation will kill you. Yeah. Temptation ain't designed to make you stronger. Temptation never made nobody stronger. Tests don't make you stronger. It's how you respond. If you respond properly in the temptation, in the test, then you mature, then you grow, then you're strong. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's not the temptation or the test itself, it's how you respond in that determine whether your faith muscles grow. Does that make sense to you? Mm.